He says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. In God's kingdom, God is saying that there's something higher than your sight. And it is that thing that's higher than your sight that matters more than what you see. Now faith is the substance. Look at that word. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You can know if you have faith or not. What many people are working with is the mercy of God, not faith. If you learn this thing, your life will remain the same. To the Lord. So I was saying that there were some things I needed to explain to you and to show to you, which was very important, not which was, which is and will always be very important. Now, number one, I want you to take note of this. I dare say, in the world today, the intangibles govern the... In our world, the intangibles govern the tangible. Because if I say in the kingdom, it means that supernatural forces only work in God's kingdom. But it happens both ways. Both good, both bad. So, in the world we live today, the tangible things that we see were made of the intangibles. Let me explain what I mean. If you read your Bible, you will notice something, or you notice the way Paul wrote. I'll give you an example. Paul said something. He says, why we look at the things which are not seen? He says, for the things which we see are temporal. That means they are not permanent. They can be changed. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Hallelujah. Let me show you something I talked about on Sunday. But I'll show you in a different light. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 from verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 from verse 8. He says, and God is able. Have said after me, God is able. He says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Now look at this. He says, God is able. He says, and God is able. I explained to them on Sunday that the word make there is the word abound. So what you have make and abound is actually the same word in the originals. He says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that he always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Question. When he says God is able to make all grace, I have a question to ask you. Can you hold grace? The concept of grace, can you hold it? But he says God is able to make all grace abound to you, and because he is able to do it, you know what? Let me backtrack it. I want to show you something. It will change your mentality. He says, and God is able. God is able, one, to make all grace abound towards you. Abound towards me. Tell me, God's grace abounds towards me. Now, when he says that, he now says that because of that, you have all sufficiency, and because of that, you can be able to do good works. So, what people see on the outside is works. What is happening in God's own economy is that you have received grace. Are you with me, somebody? So you are seeing how the intangible has begun to govern the tangible. Let me show you an example. Colossians chapter 1 from verse 9 to verse 10. Colossians chapter 1 from verse 9 to verse 10. Okay, it says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, the prayer that he is asking for them to happen to them is not a tangible thing. It's intangible. Because when you say a person is filled with the knowledge of God in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, can we hold that? No. We can't hold it to say, okay, this is what it is, this is what it can be, this is what it could be. We have no idea of what shape, size, form it could be. But the Bible says that he might walk worthy of the Lord, unto Lord pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So, people see this. What they don't see is that the person is filled with the knowledge of the will of God. Are you with me, somebody? So, the intangible things actually control the tangible things. So when I say intangible and tangible, tangible means that you can hold it. Intangible means that you can't hold it. It's like air. You can't feel it. You can't hold it. You can't grab it and say, I've grabbed air. No, it's not possible. Are you with me, somebody? And can I shock you? Faith is the same way. When you look at the way faith is being spoken about, it looks like it is something that is being seen or handled, or you can feel it. Let me show you. Matthew chapter 6 from verse 30. Matthew chapter 6 from verse 30. He says, wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, all ye of little faith? You're wondering, little faith? Are you saying that faith has a quantity? So how did he know that they were of little faith, if he could not see it? I'll give you an example. Matthew 9 from verse 2. There's a lot of examples in the Bible to illustrate, but I just want to give you just a pinch from it. Matthew chapter 9 from verse 2 says, and behold, they brought a man sick of the palsy, lying on the bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith. How could Jesus see their faith? I thought faith was something that was intangible. I thought faith was something that was intangible. You could not hold it. You could not feel it. How can you say that Jesus could see their faith? I'll give you an example. Matthew 17:17. He says, then Jesus answered and said, oh, faithless and perverse generation. How did he know that they did not have faith? Let's go again. Luke 7:50. Sounds like a price. 7:50. He says, and he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Romans 4:20 says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Luke 18:25, and he said unto them, where is your faith? What kind of question is that? Now the question I'm asking you is in terms of a logical person. When I ask someone and I say, where is your faith? If you're a logical person who has never been in the Christian circle before, what is your mind is, how do I find this thing called faith? Are you with me, somebody? You're looking for it. Faith? Is it a substance? Is it a stone? Does it have a form? What is it like? And while you're thinking about that, maybe you're like the disciples who is learning about faith for the first time. And then Jesus says, if you have faith like a mustard seed. Hold on. He says, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and it shall be done for you. You're like, okay, so how can I have this faith? Can I know that this faith actually is? Can I know this faith exists? The answer is yes. Hallelujah. You see, this thing about faith. There are many Christians that ask many questions. You see, because the first thing. Oh, Holy Spirit, thank you. When you are born into this world, you live by your five senses. So everything you've lived by is what you see, what you hear, what you can smell, what you can feel. Also what you can taste. So you know something is hot and you should not go near it, because when it comes in contact with your skin, it hurts you. Are you with me, somebody? But in God's kingdom, God is saying that there's something higher than your sight. And it is that thing that's higher than your sight that matters more than what you see. Are you with me, somebody? So, many Christians, when they hear about the concept of faith, because we just read scriptures about faith, and most of you may have heard about it, some people might be hearing it for the first time, you might be wondering, okay, so this faith thing, how do I contact it? Haven't you sometimes, you've tried, maybe you prayed to God, believing for something, it happened the first time, and another time did not happen at all. So you're like, okay, maybe I had faith this time and it worked, and I had faith this other time and it not work. So when do I know that I actually have faith? Are these questions that you normally ask? People on this side, is it questions you normally ask? So when does a person actually have faith? When and how do we know? Let me show you something. Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 1. It says, now faith, I come against every form of distraction in the name of Jesus. What the Lord wants you to receive, you receive in the name of Jesus. If you miss this fundamental, you see this thing I want to teach you now. If you miss it, any that anybody is telling you about faith will not make sense. It won't make any logical sense. Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance. Now faith is the substance. Look at that word. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He said, faith is the substance. Faith is the substance. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. So he gives faith two qualifiers. He says faith first is a substance and it is an evidence. I thought evidence was something that you are meant to see. So we're getting to the sweet part, but let me help you. For in case you don't know what today's topic is, today's topic is faith is a substance. So I want to help you. So let me help you do something. What is a substance? Can I beg you, pay attention. What is a substance? It is a material from which something is made or which has discrete existence. It is a material from which something is made or which has discrete existence. It is a material from which something is made or which has discrete existence. So it means that if faith is the substance, it means that faith has discrete evidence. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now that I've said that, I will say this. You can know if you have faith or not. What many people are working with is the mercy of God, not faith. That's why I said, if you learn this thing, your life will remain the same. What many people are working with is the mercy of God, not faith. So you pray about something, you see the answers to it, or you see something come out of it. Many times it is the mercy of God. But if God wants you to become stronger, He wants you to learn how to build and train your faith. Many times some of the bad situations people go through is because God is trying to allow them to build their faith for that thing. Let me help you. Whenever you see someone going through something at a particular point in time, many times it is a sign that God wants to make them stronger in that thing. Now, does it mean that there are things that happen where Satan attacks people? Yes, but still, when God allows things to come, the Bible says, there's not allow any temptation that can overcome us to come to us. So it means that when those things come, God has given us a way of escape. He has given us the means to learn how to come out of it. Are you with me, somebody? Now, to understand faith in a greater and a better light, the Bible defines faith as a law. It defines faith as a law. Romans chapter 3, from verse 24. Oh no, I'll just read 27 for the sake of our time. Romans chapter 3 from verse 27, he says, where is the boasting then? It is excluded by what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. So there is a law called the law of faith, and similar to the law of gravity, you may not see it, but it exists. Are you with me, somebody? So you might not see it, but it exists. It affects the fabric of reality as we know it. So because I cannot touch gravity does not mean that I will throw something up and expect it to stay up. I'm like, oh no, because I cannot see does not mean it is. Because I can't see does not mean it is there. You'd be whining yourself. You would jump from a skyscraper and see yourself in the Lord. And when the angels ask you, how did you get here? He said, I do not believe in gravity. He said, oh, you are those people. So, because you cannot see faith, does not mean that faith does not exist. Are you with me, somebody? Now, because it does not exist, does not mean that its effect cannot be felt. Oh, Holy Spirit, you give me the right words. Okay. Because you cannot see it, does not mean that the effects of it cannot be felt. Now, let me give you an idea of how you know that you have faith. Okay, I have a good example. A very, very good example. Let me give you the example in a mental model. I'll help. Think about seeing a 7 years old child, or let's say 5 year old. Or children nowadays, they are very smart. So maybe you can go down a bit. But let's use that. You now see a young boy. You come and meet him and you tell him, do you know that you are a girl? No, I'm a boy. How do you know that you are a boy?
I know that I am a boy. But I'm telling you that you are a girl. He said, no, 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 no. Reminds me of Princess John. No, 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 no. No. Don't worry, if you've had the privilege of being Princess John, you'll laugh. He says, no. That's not it. So, you meet a child, a 10-10 child, how do you know? Now, the child may not know anything about the organs, the other things that proves that he's a boy. But because he has been told and he knows it on the inside, he says, I'm not a girl, I am a boy. That thing that you are seeing there is called conviction. It is a conviction that even though he does not have the full picture of the entire thing, he knows that that thing is true. I will meet somebody. So faith actually is the fact that even though you don't know the complete way to which a thing will happen, you have an assurance and a conviction in your spirit that that thing actually is true. Let me make it easier for you. Now, because we live in a tangible world and there is an intangible realm, let me even make it easier. We live in a physical world and there is a spiritual world. In the realm of the spirit, faith actually is a thing. It's an actual force in the spirit. So, when that realm communicates that thing into your heart, and it becomes a conviction and a knowing, it has become substance. So whether anybody believes it or they don't believe it, it does not matter. Are you with me, somebody? It doesn't matter. The reason is because you have received something from the realm of the spirit and it has become substance and a knowing in your heart. I'll give you an example. You know, few years ago, okay, before I got into university, the Lord had said to me or given me an idea. He said, you're going to go to Covenant University, and I was like, okay, Lord, no problem, let's see what you're going to do about it. I remember one day, as I began to pray, I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. I think when I said I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, it was like an hour plus. So it's not like it was so much. So I pray, and to me then I was like, ah, you know when you're praying and the clock does not move. Barakata. You feel like you've prayed 10 hours, you open your eye, it's 15 minutes that's gone by. Yeah. So I prayed and prayed and prayed. And after praying, I felt in my heart the Lord said, rejoice. So it looked very foolish. If you were looking from outside in, you'd have said that this guy, he has lost his mind. Because he said, begin to thank me as though you've gotten it. I said, I need to be like, Lord, I'm not crazy, but I've not gotten it. And then, he says, no, still thank me. And I begin to jump, rejoice, run around the house, like as though I've gotten it. The same way I'd respond when I've gotten it. And after I did that, I felt this peace and calm in my heart. Guess what? Later that day, my dad had called me. He said that he's not sure that we'll have money for the school and every other thing. My dad called me. He said, it looks like the money for the school is coming, though. So to him, it was a surprise. Like, this thing is happening, though. It looks like it's happening. And by next time, when he had gotten home, he pulled his tie and was looking at me. Like, he's surprised how it happened. Let me even explain what happened. There was, his boss was sitting, was with him, they were talking. And I was like, oh, I need to send my son to school, and I need to get some money. And the boss was like, no problem now. You know, so this is what we're going to do. I'm going to give you a loan for it. Then later you can pay whichever time you want to pay, however you want to pay. You can pay in small, however you feel like paying. Talk with the accountant and we'll sort it out. And he left. But I was looking at the person. Let me help you understand. This man is a stingy man. Stingy. Arsene Wenger. Stingy coach. Yes. That kind of stingy. Stingy. So what I was looking at. So my father was looking at me like, is there something you did? Because the next day, the man called my father and said, did you put something inside your mouth? What he did not know was that there was somebody who was praying and received substance from the Lord, and it began to affect his physical circumstances. There was a point in this church, before we even had this 100 kVA, we had a 30 kVA generator. There was a time, man, we prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. We said, Lord, I think those of us that know Sister Minister Sophie, we pray. One day, Mr. Sophie said, pray 30 kVA generator. One day, just said 30 kVA generation. We use that into the Yaba. Says 30 kVA generation, no problem. Guess what? A point just came. We just knew. We knew the generator is ours. Guess what? A few weeks after, Pastor David traveled to Lagos. We got to a place, and then wanted to get the generator. The engine was clean, new, but the price was not making sense. Like you know when you look at generator, you look at the price, you're like, this is too good to be true. So we got to the place. It was another church I wanted to sell the generator, because they were like, they don't need generator, they've gotten something bigger, they want to sell it off, they want to just sell off the gen. Pastor David was still talking with the secretary, and secretary was like, no, we will not give generator. In fact, we will not give it for this price. Please, you are going to pay this amount of money. Guess what? The man of God came out of nowhere and looked. He says, who are these young men? Began to prophesy to them. He says, what did you come to do? He says, we came to price generator. He says, how much do you have to give? They measured the money. He says, collect the money, take the generator. And he left. To somebody else, they might be thinking that, is it that simple? Hey, me too, I'll go and price generator now. You go price, it not go happen. Listen, it's called faith. It's a force that switches the tangible realm to matches for your favor. Are you with me, somebody? Hallelujah. So let me give you an example, a prime example of faith. Matthew chapter 14 from verse 27. Matthew 14:27. It is, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if thou bid me, come unto thee on the water. Now, hold on, look at that. Peter answered him, said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me, come unto thee on the water. 29. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Oh, God, let me help you understand. Are you with me, somebody? I need to receive this thing. Number one, Peter says to Jesus, who is already on the water, he says, Master, if it is you, bid me to come. Jesus says the word. He says, come. Now, Peter walks on the water. But the question is, was Peter actually walking on just water? No. Peter was walking on the faith of the word, come. That word in the spirit had created a platform that defies physics itself. So that while he's walking, he does not sink. Are you with me, somebody? So he's coming, he's walking. I'm sure Peter must be wondering, how did I walk on this water? What he did not see physically is that in the realm of the spirit, when Jesus said come, a platform was created for him to walk up to Jesus. If any other person tried to walk on water, they would have sank. an example of this happened, if you read the book Like a Mighty Wind, there was something that happened. I'm trying to remember, is it Haiti? I'm trying to remember the place. They used to have this crazy flood, and they began to pray and pray and talk to the Lord about it. And while praying, the Lord told them that they should go from where they are and try to that next community that they want to go and preach. These people are like, Lord, this water is not small water. It's water that boats used to go on. The Lord said, go. Guess what? These people, I'm saying, is recorded. These people stepped their legs into the water. It covered a part of their legs. And they began to walk. And began to walk. And they were going. Now, they had gotten halfway. And someone was like, is the water that shallow now? And the guy actually put his leg to walk in and actually sank inside. That is how they knew that it was a miracle. Because then they're like, okay, the water has come down to a point whereby they can use their legs to walk through it. But what happened was that they were actually walking on water. What was it that those people were walking on? They were walking on the fact that God has said from the realm of the spirit, go to that place, and faith had created a platform for them to get there. So to many people, they will look like, why is it happening for them and it's not happening for me? Simple, the work of faith, or better, the force of faith is going before them. So let me help you. So how do you know that you have faith? How do you know? Number one, the opinion of God must become real to you. Number one, the opinion of God must become real to you. What has God said? Hey, God, let me help you even understand that better. There's what you call the written word or the living word. So, the written word actually is what you read from scripture. Now, when I'm talking about the living word, I know that some people, when I say living word, what comes to their mind is, okay, something extra scriptural. The living word is what proceeds out of the written word. The Bible says, I think that's Ezekiel chapter 2 from verse 2. He says, and the Spirit of the Lord spake unto me while I was in the Spirit. Let me even help you. If you begin to see extra biblical teachings, know that it is not the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will teach you of the things I have taught you. He's not going to teach you another thing. What his work is to explain and to bring light to the things that you may have seen but don't understand. The Bible says the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know. Ephesians 1 from verse 18. So that you can see it. Since the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know. The word know is the word to become aware. He says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know or become aware what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. There is a point, let me help you. There's a point where you know I'm a child of God. There's a point where you know that I am a child of God. There are two different things. One, you may have read it and may not have understood the implications. The second one, you know the fullness of what it means. I know that I know. He says, all things work together for they that are called of God. All things work together. I'm a child of God. I cannot lose. So, what is that? The written word has become alive to you. Oh, Holy Spirit. The Bible says the word of God is living and active. The word of God is living and active. The word of God is living and active. The word of God, Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. The word of God is living and active. The word of God is living and active. If the word of God is not beginning to show its fact that is alive in your life, you need to begin to cross check. Many times the reason why that word is not alive, is not beginning to show the fullness of its life in your life, is because you have not focused on it. It's because you don't have enough of the written word inside of you. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Okay, let me add this. Let me add this for you to help you. Now, if the written word has become living word to you, it creates substance. Let me help you. You know, when you read the Bible and it says, oh, you have little faith. When it says, oh, you have little faith, like these people have little faith, it means that the quantity of substance you have in you cannot effect that change. You can have substance. For example, stone is in levels. You can pick this very small, tiny stone and you will throw it against, maybe let's say this chair, and it will be like nothing happened. But if you pick block and you stone this chair must fall. Does it mean that stone in and of itself is not powerful? No, it just means that the quantity is not enough to pull down that situation. Are you with me, somebody? Now, so many times when you take in the word of God, not what somebody else said, do. Hey, you know, when we begin to talk about the revelations we receive from the word of God, it can help your faith. But the fact is, you must learn to go back to the word of God to receive from what the word of God is saying. Because when I say, by his stripes I am healed, and I receive a healing in my body because those words has created life in my spirit. If you say it just like that, it will just be what it is, words. It is different when I'm saying it and it's like, wait, by his stripes, Jesus was wounded for my infirmities. For my trespasses, he died. I cannot be sick. I cannot be weak. I cannot be weary. Hey, he said he shall keep me in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. Ah, how can I be depressed? How can my mind be disturbed? This is how I think. I'm talking to you from my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So when I sit down and I'm like, you know the funny thing, sometimes when I'm even feeling depressed, I'm feeling down, sometimes the word of God is so heightened in my spirit that when I'm like, because like I'm feeling down. Next time, like, what do you mean by that? I'm not talking about somebody else. Inside me is speaking. Say, what do you mean by that? He cannot be stranded. You cannot be stopped. I remember one time I was inside church. I had 200 naira in my OPA account. It was not end of the month. I was standing. I was like, Lord, I don't know how you're going to help me. Lord, but please help me. Next thing, I began to hear words. I cannot be stranded. We had a sister that she's with the Lord now, but she was with me in the auditorium. So I was telling her, do you know I cannot be stranded? I cannot be stopped. I cannot be stranded. I mean, no, it's not possible. Stranded, no. If you are hearing me, you think that I have one rich uncle somewhere, that's 200 million. While I was saying that, someone sent... They're like, I just felt I needed to send you this money. I said, I said, so this, I said, I cannot be stranded. it's so normal for me that no matter how bad the situation is, I cannot be stranded. I remember one of the days I was, before I moved into the house, I'm staying inside. There was one nonsense that happened and we had to be inside there till like 10 o'clock. And I got to Elio's flyover trying to get back here. And everywhere was dark. There was nobody on the road. I was by myself. I saw some thugs just walking around. I said, wait, oh. I said, I cannot be stranded. I did not say any car coming, no. I said, I cannot be stranded. I cannot be stranded. It's not possible. Me? No. Never. Not possible. Stranded. A vehicle will come and I will enter inside. And the vehicle I will enter inside will not be one chance. I cannot be stranded. I cannot be stopped. Ah, greater is he that lives in me than he that lives in the world. I cannot be stranded. Me? No. If there are no vehicles moving this night, somebody with a private vehicle will drive and meet me here and take me home. I cannot be stranded. It's not possible. Not for me. I waited there for like 10 minutes. I cannot be stranded. I saw some people passing. Fear wanted to. I said, mm-mm. I said, no. I know this thing. I know this thing so much that it's not possible. It cannot be possible. Ah, how much of the word of God have I had inside of me that I would meet someone that's coming to rob me and I preached Christ to the person tells me that he has gone but has been disarmed. He's now bad boys that come. I said, no, I will see if they want to come, let them come and convert them. But the fact is, you see me, my life is different. Not up to 5 minutes, a vehicle came, I entered inside, took me home. There are people who will be in that same situation. When they get home crying. Lord, it is me, the one you love. Lord, it is me. Lord, Zaki, don't love me again. Why am I saying this, or why am I putting it out there? I'm saying it that because, number one, it is possible to know that you have faith. So let me help you now. So how do I get faith? How do I now actually get the faith? How do I get it? How do I get it? I'll give you some keys and I'll explain something to you. Are you being blessed? So how do you build your faith, or how do you gain substance? Whichever it is. I'll give you one key, and that one key has many children. Have you seen those questions? Number one, 1 AI, 1 AII, 1 BI to IV, 1 C, D, E. 30 marks. Answer number one and other two questions. And those kind of questions, they'll not add the marks. That's why you will know that if you don't do it, you will fail. Father, I thank you that I'm done with that madness. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Please. You don't want to fall. See, it is better to fall into the hand of the Lord than Nigerian lecturers. Don't worry. I will not continue on that subject again. Amen. Amen. So, number one, which is my only one with the other children, stay with the Lord till you receive substance. Stay with the Lord till you receive substance. Now, let me now give you the children under it. For the sake of time, I might not explain, but I'll give one explanation that can cover everything. Number one, which is under that, pray till you receive substance. Pray. Hey, no, I'll explain it. Pray till you receive substance. Number two, get the written word till you are fully persuaded. Number two, get the written word get the written word into you until you are fully persuaded. Get the written word into you until you are fully persuaded. Number three, get the opinion of God for you, generally and specifically on that matter, and hold on to it. Get the opinion of God for you, generally and specifically on that matter and hold on to it. And you must take the will of God seriously. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm about to now drop something on you. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You got all the point, right? You got all the point, right? Now, you might be wondering, why is all of these things important? Why should I pay attention to all these things important? Or pay attention to all these things? I'll tell you the reason. The thing is that when you stay with God, something happens to you. Both in prayer and by the word of God, when you find His will about a matter, something happens to you. The Bible says you are being changed to begin to think and act like God in that situation. Let me help you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 18. Let me tell you where this thing hits me. Because I've been studying and trying to get ready for today. And I was about to take my bath. I wanted to take my bath. It just hits me. He just says, why do you need to stay with God? He says, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 8. No, it didn't even come as this. So let me tell you how he came to me. He came to me and says, we are changed from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. I said, wait though. I've heard that scripture before. And when I began to read it, I knew what the Lord said it. He says, but we all, read the scripture 1-3, go. Read it again. He says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. Hold on. Are you seeing what I'm seeing? He says, when I behold that glory, think about it, when I'm reading the word of God, I'm seeing what God has said about me in His word, about that situation, about that issue, about that problem. I am seeing it. The Bible says, I am changed. I am changed. I am transformed. Not into a type of that image. He said, we are changed into the same image. From glory to glory. Hold on. What does that mean? That means that when I read the word of God and I see that God is saying something about me, all of a sudden, I adopt and I take hold. My life is transformed by that image. I begin to respond to that situation the way God responds to it. It means that if my situation is like Genesis, the book of Genesis, where you see everything going bad, going wrongly, I can respond rightly to it. Reason being that I have come in contact with God. In God's realm, God lives, breathes, exists by faith. So much so, the Bible says, oh God, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith. And the Bible says the just shall live by faith. What that means, to help you understand in better terms, is that when I come in contact with God, I come in contact with faith. The faith required for that thing, I come in contact with it. What that does to me is I begin to respond to things in the exact way God wants me to respond to them. Can I shock you? Even if I did not teach you and tell you that this is how to gain faith, If you spend time with God enough, you will be a man of faith. I know what I'm saying. Because before I learned about faith, I remember times where I'll spend nights and I'm praying, talking to the Lord. I'm not telling the Lord to give me faith. I'm just praying in the spirit. And all of a sudden, I realized that the things that people my age could not do, I was doing it as though it was not that serious. If someone told me this is what faith means, I tell the person, is that it? Because in the realm of God, faith is like the air that they breathe. If you meet angels and ask them, is this thing possible? They will tell you, for with God, all things are possible. He did not say that all things are possible like that. I said, for with God. So how can I spend time with God and not have faith for the impossible? Hey, God, let me show you something as I round up. Romans chapter 4 from verse 17 to verse 21. Now look at this. He says, for as it is written, this was God speaking to Abraham, I have made thee a father of many nations before him who had believed even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth the things which be not as though they were. He said, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before whom he believed even God, who quickened the dead and called those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And be not weak in faith, considered he now his body now dead, which was 100 years, and yet the nurse of Sarah's womb, said he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded what he had promised, he was also able to perform. So what we don't see is that you see a man moving in faith. But there is a fundamental. He said, and being fully persuaded that what he has spoken, he will perform. That is the key of faith. I want to give you 2 minutes. I'll tell you something, then I'll give that 2 minutes. I will teach you how to aid faith and how to help faith, especially when you have faith for something but it's not strong enough. The word of God you've received for that thing, hold on to it and begin to speak it. Speak it in the morning, in the afternoon, in the night. The Bible says, you spoke of the Lord shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate upon it day and night, that ye shall do the things written therein. One of the ways to meditate is by speaking. So as you learn it, you speak. That is why when you have faith, faith has a communication. And when you have fear, fear has a communication. How did Jesus know that they had faith? By their works. Their works was what made him know that this was great faith, this was little faith, this was no faith at all, this was truly faith. By their works. Can I give you a moment? Rise up on your feet. Rise up on your feet. Can you think about the situation or the issue that you are facing at hand? And I want you to begin to speak God's word about that matter. I'm going to give you 2 minutes about it. Do it now. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Nothing more. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Koraba setele manaya. This is how I know the word of God is in you. Speak the word of God. Begin to speak it about your situations right now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, why did I do that? I did that to get to have an assessment. The reason why you are unable to speak the words of God into situations is because the word has not entered into your heart. My assignment to you as you get back home, go back to your Bibles, clean off the dust. Some people, the sides of your Bibles are still clean. If you don't know what that means, you've never read your Bible. The side of your Bible is still clean. It's not, you're not seeing any finger marks. It's still clean. Go back and read the Bible. Begin a study. In Jesus' mighty name. And we have the privilege of at least what being with us.